We have a number of guests that are going to come up. We're going to do like a panel discussion. We don't get to do that a lot, but I'm going to invite the guests to come up here to the front. And Cameron's already set up your chairs, so we don't even have to make you do that. I've slowed down my speech so Jerry's mom is happy. And we have individuals here that represent various organizations, and we're going to go through and just ask them to share a little bit about their organization. I have a couple questions for them. And they are set up in the back gymnasium with booths. Every of our speakers have opportunities. You can go back. The reason we're not, one of the main reasons we're not doing second hour is we want you during a second hour time to fellowship, to go to those tables, to meet these people, to talk with them, to invest a little bit more into what they're actually doing, then you get this opportunity through this worship service. So the first thing I'm going to do is ask each of you to introduce yourselves and what ministries you represent, how long you've been at that ministry, and since this is Sunday morning, who's your favorite Bible character? Who would like to start? Barry, go ahead.
Favorite Bible character other than Jesus?
Other than Jesus or God, yes.
My name is Barry Dykstra. I'm on staff with Youth for Christ. I've been on staff for 3 years now, and I'm actually on staff here, right here in Byron Center. So I work at Byron Center High School, and many of you know that we're able to partner really well with using your building here every Monday. Put on the spot, man. For some reason, Moses was the first person that came up, and he was an awesome leader, so I'm just going to say Moses.
Good for you.
My name is Brian Van Timmeren. I'm from Grace Adventures. I have been at Grace Adventures for about 4.5 years. I do marketing and sales for them. Fun story, I got married in this church, so I have a lot of connections here. And my favorite Bible character besides Jesus would be David.
I'm Joel McGarvey. I'm the director of Bible Doctrines to Live By, and I've been there going on 14 years now, and we'll talk more about what we do later on. I guess we are an evangelistic and a teaching ministry, so I would say the Apostle Paul with evangelism and teaching. That would be my favorite Bible character.
My name is Matt Ritchie. I am also with Bible Doctrines to Live By. And I've been there about 3 years or so. As far as favorite Bible character, honestly, it's probably the one I'm currently studying. But I'll give you one that you'll have to go look up. Micaiah, he's a wonderful story, wonderful example. So that's what I'll give.
I'm Colleen Christie. I'm with New Creations Prison Ministries. And we're right here in Grand Rapids. We deal with inmates in all of the Michigan and Tennessee prisons. And my favorite Bible character would be David.
Awesome. My name is Stephen Gowdy. I'm the Vice President of Advancement for Grace Bible College. I've been there since March, and so newbie to the Advancement Department, but are pretty excited about what we're doing there at the college. And my Bible character is easy. It's Stephen.
You do know what happened to him, though, right? Okay, all right, okay.
It was not pretty.
All right, okay, just making sure we got that covered, all right. Steve, let's start with you. We're going to ask each of you just to briefly share some specific impact points of ministry that have taken place with what you've been doing recently or maybe in the near past. But what are some impact points? What are some specifics about the ministry that has been encouraging to you most recently?
Well, it is exciting. Our mission, as many of you know, is graduating godly individuals that are prepared to serve Christ in their local church and in society. So we hold on to that mission, and everybody at the college, staff, administration, and our faculty, which we have an unbelievable, amazing faculty, wake up every morning, and that's what our goal is, to accomplish that mission statement. The challenges that come along with that is that education in and of itself is changing. We had for our education, you stand up front and you have your 40 chairs and everybody learns that way. Learning is moving, and as we're transitioning, as you well know, we have a robust online learning program with our adult and online continuing education. And so that in of itself, you have to continually change as you move forward, especially in education. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this, being one of the fastest growing Bible colleges in the nation, mind-boggling. God has blessed us in an amazing way. But it also produces challenges to his work. Where do you put all these students to as well? Mm-hmm. And also, the other challenge happened to be is, and the blessings that come along with it, is we had like 19 new pastoral ministry students enroll this fall. Mm-hmm. That's exciting stuff for us at Grace Bible College, and it produces challenges along the way.
And one of those pastoral students is Jerry Ruiz, who's an intern here at Rush Creek, too, so we're grateful for that. Christy.
I would say there's no greater impact that we see in our ministry than lives that are changed mm-hmm. by Jesus Christ, and I just would like to read a little excerpt from a letter that we've received from an inmate. So some of the most important things I've learned from this ministry is who I am in Christ and how important it is to have an intimate relationship with God, and what follows is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, learning about faith, patience, love, kindness, long-suffering, and purpose. Therefore, I came to know that I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I am not ugly. I am fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of my Father, Abba, which through his true beauty that's in me, I become his reflection of agape love. I am a new creature that's eternal through the blood of Jesus Christ, which makes me timeless. So now I sing in the storm and prepare to walk on water, claiming the impossible. Lastly, through this ministry and the Holy Spirit, God transformed me from just another man in prison to a missionary inside a prison. I found my true identity in Christ, and that's to shine. Thank you, Tom, and all those at New Creations, for I am a new creation. From Russ.
Nice.
Bible Doctrines has various parts of the ministry. As you can see, if you stop by our table, or of course, we'll have an opportunity to present tonight. But they brought me on 3 years ago or so to focus on families and young people, teenagers, children. And so we titled it Rooted. I realize I'm from Pennsylvania, so you say it different, but R-O-O-T-E-D, is that how you spell it? Okay, Rooted.
We spell it the same out here.
I know you spell it the same, but anyway. Anywho. Anyway, I focus on families and young people. As far as an impact moment, I would say Joel and Susan, as they travel, they came back with a tract that a young lady, how old was she?
Eight.
That she wrote. And so to encourage her, I kind of did it up, made it nice, and sent it to her. And man, was she excited. We sent her a few, and she handed those out, so she wanted more. And so there's a lot of negative going around. And a lot of times in ministry, we can say, am I making a difference? That we can't miss the lives that are impacted for Christ. And so that was certainly an impactful moment.
I guess I would have to say in at my age, getting high is made an impact on my life. And we're able to get high all the time at Bible Doctrines. Now you say, what do you mean by that? I'll tell you, why do we do what we do? We do what we do to share Christ with young people and adults. Year-round, in the summertime, as we travel, we have a lot of even cross-cultural, inner-city kids we're dealing with in various churches. And I'll tell you what, you get high every time one of them comes to Christ. It is just amazing. And every time you do it, and you do it again, and you do it again, and you get high every time. It's just a joy to see a young person or an adult. I had we had two boys this summer. I forget what their ages were. They had never been in a church before. Never been in a church. Had no concept of God, Jesus Christ, or anything. And at the end of the week, they both accepted Christ. If you don't get high on that, there's something wrong with you. Yeah. And I had a woman come to me after one of our meetings, and she's crying. Because this is the first time anybody had explained to her the gospel. And she had accepted Christ. And you get high on that.
Yeah.
And you just walk out of there saying, you know, with all the things that happen and the negative things that happen, you say, this is why we do what we do. And you get in the car and you go do it again. And you do it again and again and again, and it drives you.
Yeah.
Highlights from Grace Adventures come in the form of people kind of sharing their testimony of the impact that they've had or that Grace has had on them or that they've been able to do because of their time at Grace Adventures. And so this was an email that was sent to our staff. Someone in Human Resources approached me today and asked if I was a camp counselor at Grace Adventures 15 years ago. 15 years ago, her and her best friend, even to this day, were forever changed because of their experience there. My heart is overflowing with God's grace. You are changing lives of not only campers, but counselors as well. What a great reminder of the difference that every single counselor is making. Both her and her friend accepted Christ that week at seventh grade camp, and their lives have been changed forever because of it. She has shared so many memories that I honestly wouldn't have remembered, but feel so blessed to be a part of. So that was a really uplifting email that 15 years ago, the Ministry of Grace Adventures made an impact on these people that continue on to today. And just wanted to read another letter that we actually got in the mail. This is from a camper that came to camp. She was subsidized to come to Grace Adventures from her parents' company. And so this is the letter that they, the company, got, but they forwarded on to us. I have been so blessed by your generosity to send the employees' kids to camp at Grace Adventures. I am 15 now, and I have been going since I was 13 with my best friend, and have gone to the ranch camps together for the past 3 years. This year, we attended the high school training camp to become ranch hands. Although we were still campers, we went back for service weeks where we actually worked around the ranch. It felt like we were the big kids, and we bonded so much more with the counselors. Also, when you go back for service weeks, the younger campers are there at the same time. I have adored horses all my life, so when the younger kids had questions about them, it made my day to be able to teach them. Next year, my friend and I plan to go back, and this time to become junior wranglers. And junior wranglers actually work with the kids in the cabins and even help the counselors teach riding lessons. Isn't that awesome? I am so excited and plan on working my way up to becoming a counselor. In this past year or two, God has been working working extraordinary ways in my life. I used to have no interest in him and was spiritually blind. Through God's grace, my parents' godly influence, camp, and other various ways during my life, God has been opening up my eyes. I long for the day now when my life is fully devoted to his glory, and I long for the day when I see my glorious Savior. I wish I had found Grace Adventures sooner, as it has impacted me in so many ways. Thank you 1,000 times. Being at camp with other believers was an indescribable experience, and I can't wait, Lord willing, to go back next year to my second home.
Hmm. Amen. Thank you.
God is good.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm very similar in a lot of ways. I think the highlight of ministry so far happened just this summer. A student that I would have never guessed would get to summer camp, a kid that wasn't really involved in our ministry, really, just other than like a relationship with me and one of my other leaders. We kind of just grown with him. He's in a really hard place and a lot of illegal things, but just a kid that was always kind of far out. Somehow, some way, God worked through some of his really low points in his life and was able to get him to camp. At camp, we obviously just continued a relationship, and after the gospel night, I just felt the tug in my heart that I just needed to talk to him. And so it's probably like 11 o'clock at this point, and I just take him out, and we just start having this conversation. He's just like, Barry, I'm super skeptical. He's like, I don't know if I can believe this whole God thing. In my heart, I knew where that lied, and I just asked him straight up. I said, is it because you think that God can't take all your sin? He looks at me, he's like, yeah, that's it. And he opened up about some things that I can't even, like, put to words and fathom what he's going through with some of these things. But I looked at him and I said, well, what if Jesus could take all of your sin, all of your baggage, and put it on his shoulders? And he looked at me and he goes, he might fall over. And I kind of laugh and just like, okay, that's funny, but for real, the Bible says that Jesus died once, and he died for all. And if he died for all, I have to believe that covers your sin too. Mm-hmm. And it covers my sin too. Yeah. And so we kept talking, and you wouldn't believe the spiritual things going on in the moment. I mean, At one point, we started talking about the devil, and he looked at me and he goes, Barry, I have a voice in my head right now telling me not to listen to you. Whoa. We kept talking. I said, listen, you know, you either keep listening to that voice in your head, and it'll keep lying to you and deceiving you and dragging you down these paths, and so many of them that we've seen already today. Or you can choose to believe that God is greater, that God has died for your sin, that he can take it. And your life may not necessarily going to get easier, right? But he can give you a way out. He can make for a better life. And finally, he straight up said, he's like, well, how do I get rid of this voice in my head? It's like, ooh. Well, we believe in this guy named Jesus who has a name stronger than any other name. So we can pray right now, and that voice can be gone. But I looked at him straight in the eye, and I said, listen, this isn't no magic trick. This isn't flipping a coin and hoping that something good's going to happen. This is believing with our whole heart that God can do this. And he looks at me, and I always have like tears in my eyes at this point. He's like, okay, I think I'm ready. So I'm like, what? This isn't supposed to happen like this. It's like, all right, well, like, we need to pray. He's like, I can pray first. He's like, well, do I need to pray out loud? I'm like, absolutely. I said, the devil needs to hear every word that you have to say. So we start to pray, and I pray over him first, and then he prays. It was an awesome prayer. I wish I could even have recorded it. But after we pray, he looks at me. He's like, Barry, I got this weird feeling. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, when I was praying, he's like, I felt like God lifted us up to heaven. I was like, what? He's like, I weigh over 200 pounds, Barry. And he said, I felt like I weighed an ounce. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, that is God taking your burden. He gave you a physical experience to show him that he took it from him. So there's moments like that that are the reason that we do what we do and the reason that we all do what we do. Because Jesus can transform lives. And to this day, weekly, we've been meeting up and reading the scripture. He's been growing in the Lord. He's got a tough road ahead. But man, that keeps me going, and hopefully it keeps you going.
And it's moments like these that is why we do what we do as a church, isn't it? It's why you give, that's why you support, that's why you invest. It goes way beyond prayer and money. It goes right to the heart of that boy who claimed Jesus Christ as his Savior. Changed lives is the reality of what you're hearing. But along with that comes opposition. Barry described it quite well. That cloud, the enemy, seeks to blind the minds of those that do not know Christ. And so what I'd like to ask each of you is maybe, what are some challenges? What are some things that are challenges, maybe obstacles that you're facing, and you're sharing them with us for a specific purpose for us to pray about, for us to be engaged with you in dealing with that in a level of prayer, or maybe in a different kind of level, but what are some obstacles, challenges that each of you face specifically in your ministry?
I think a big one is just the generational bondage, and I think we'll probably all speak to some level of this, and it has already been spoken of. We have so many students that just grow up with no support and have so much brokenness that they carry with them that they don't even know what to do with it. And then for us to try to grow a relationship with them and share Christ with them, like, we can do that, but there's so much that's got to be worked through. But I think just prayer over that, the bondage that the devil is holding over so many of our families, and then over these kids in turn. But praying that these kids, that we're able to grow with them, and that also that they're able to, in time, transform their families, that God would release them of these bondages, because they go so far back, and it's so hard to work through. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, a challenge we face, Grace Adventures, originally named Grace Youth Camp, started back in 1946. As a traveling organization that went to different camps throughout Michigan, Indiana. In 1966, even members of this church built our campus right on Upper Silver Lake, right by Silver Lake in the sand dunes. And so we've been a summer camp since 1946, and we've been able to impact kids for Christ through that all those years. what's really cool about what's happening at Grace Adventures now is that, yes, we had an opportunity to impact 1,300 kids through our summer camp program, many who make decisions to follow Christ for the first time. But in reality, that's only 6.5% of the amount of people that we serve each and every year. Grace Adventures is so much more than a summer camp. It's a year-round retreat center. It's a year-round equipping ministry that wants to help others really know who they are, be impacted with Christ, and then be able to go out into the world and impact others for Christ. And so one thing that we see in our summer camp programs, and it's even gone into our summer staff and some of our adult programs, is just this extended adolescence, this inability to connect with each other on a real level. And so because of that, we've seen kids and high schoolers and older folks just be unable to handle adversity. They're afraid of commitment, and they really don't want to stand up for anything unless they're doing it behind a computer screen or behind a phone. And so getting kids and adults to connect with each other on a deeper, a real level is necessary for the relevancy of Grace Adventures today. And so that's why we develop some programs like our Ascent Gap Year program, which helps students coming out of high school to take time to listen to God's calling for themselves, to be able to live an authentic community and just find their purpose for their life before they go out into the world, where they can focus in on who they are, who Christ has created them to be, and then be able to go out from there. We've developed something called Positive Peer Relationships Program, which is kind of like an anti-bullying program for schools, churches, and businesses, where we develop positive cultures in today's youth. We can do it for students to students, staff to students, or staff to staff. And so this way of creating meaningful relationships, developing programs so that people connect on a deeper level is really one of the challenges that we face, and so that we are striving towards in the future to have a greater and greater impact.
Thank you.
That's a pretty long answer. I would have to say that one of the biggest challenges that we face, and I'm going to give you two primary ones, and I'm sure Matt will add something there, but one of the biggest challenges we face is that as we travel the country, and you know, for some of you who don't know, Susan and I travel 6 to 8 months out of the year, and speaking in churches and conducting vacation Bible schools and youth meetings and Bible conferences and things like that. But especially with the young people, one of the biggest challenges we have is for all of those kids who make a profession of Christ. At the end of the week, if it's at a VBS, Susan and I pack up our equipment and go to another church and start all over again, and those kids are still there. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest challenges we've had over the years is nobody does any follow-up with those kids, especially the kids who don't come to the church. And since Matt has been on board, we've developed some follow-up lessons, but even those lessons require hands. Mm. They require feet, yeah. And usually in a local church somewhere. And I'll tell you, let me just give you a little scenario here, is that when our kids are dealt with in our VBSs, we don't do mass evangelism. We do one-on-one with every child that comes to VBS. They're dealt with individually. And so we have these kids that make a profession of faith in Christ, and we'll give them a lesson, and then we leave. Well, who follows up with that young person, that boy, that girl, that teenager, whoever it might be? Who's going to follow up? And I'll tell you, we take the names of every one of those kids that are dealt with, whether they've made a decision or not, any questions they might have, all of that is kept in a notebook. At the end of the week, that is given over to the church. And this is the negative. Very often, we could have taken those papers, rolled them up, and thrown them in the trash, because absolutely nothing was going to be done about those kids. Nothing. In fact, we have our lessons that we offer free. I can't say that. We offer them free, and we have churches that have told us we're not interested. That's a shame. Those kids are falling through a spiritual crack. And it's a crack that's created by apathy and an unwillingness to do a simple little task. And to me, if you ask me what's our big challenge, right there's one of them. Right there's one of them. We need the theme, hands, feet, heart, that'll say, I could do that. I could do that. I could give of my time. I could volunteer my time. I could do that and step up and take that part and be a partner with us in that area.
My biggest challenge is that my father-in-law is my boss. I won't say who that is, but so just pray for me. No, he's a good fatherland boss. No, but I don't have anything more to add besides apathy. We face the same challenges that you do. Pastors, missionaries, these various ministries up here, it's not that God puts this protective bubble around them and they don't feel what's going on in the world. And so just this disinterest in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, apathy towards it, and that's the biggest thing. But we still do what we do because the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. So that would be the biggest challenges, I think. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think our biggest challenge is perception. People are moved to compassion for orphans and refugees, but there seems to be with inmates this feeling of they deserve what they get. And I think it's really important for us to remember that we are all guilty. We're all guilty of sin and crimes against God, and we all deserve death. And it's through these times when many of these people are brought in, they find themselves in jail, that they're able to come to the end of themselves. And that's when God can reach in and change their lives and really make a difference for them and for our communities, as these people will eventually be released. And it's just a huge challenge, though, to deal with the idea that somehow our sins aren't as great as somebody else's sins. It's just a really important thing for us to remember.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you. That's really good. At Grace Bible College, I'd say one of the biggest problems is not so much intrinsic to a higher learning institution, but it's the ability for the Holy Spirit to get a hold of a student's heart. It is mind-boggling to realize how when the Lord gets a hold of a student and you see it, it just is, it is like the angels are singing. And I guess for us, it's realized, just like for anybody else, being able to realize that when a student can say, oh yeah, I've been a Christian or I've so forth, but then they really turn themselves over and they say, Lord, just like the song we sang before, I surrender all. And when you see these students surrendering their lives and saying, Lord, use me in a great and amazing way, that is exciting. But just like for Youth for Christ, these kids come in today with a whole different mentality. Mm-hmm. So we have to, at GBC, confront them face to face with who Jesus Christ is and what he can do in their lives.
Yeah, it's a real misnomer to think that at a Bible college, nobody shows up who's unsaved or doesn't know that. And there's a real truth of confrontation. Personally, on behalf of the church, we want to thank you guys and lady for being here with us and for sharing with us. By far, you were not able to share everything and got everything out. That's why you're in the auditorium, in the gymnasium, to be able to do that with the people. We want you to be actively engaged with them and to be able to share with them the needs. There are specific needs I know that you have for your ministries that you were able to share briefly in what you were talking about. And so we want you to be able to share with them in the gymnasium those needs. And to let us know, beyond just giving financially, beyond just giving in prayer, we want to know, what else can this church do? You talk, Joel, about churches that say, we don't want those papers, we don't want your kids. Well, I can promise you, if there are kids here in this area that you want a church to do, we're here. We'll do that. We're committed to that. And that's a promise and a guarantee from these people. We have people that will do that. So there are needs. And Barry, I see you in the parking lot with kids, walking and chasing kids down that are running across, getting ready. And I see you out there talking with them and ministering to them beyond just the big group meeting in the back. There is the heart and soul that each of you have shared. And we want to partner with you in a wide range of activities. So as we close this morning, we want to offer you both our prayer. We've already been continuing our financial support, but also to allow you time back there to integrate with people and allow them to be challenged by what they can give to you and what they can be part of that in a volunteer way, if you'll be able to do that.